today, if you haven't gathered, is going to be all about the gifts of the Spirit, spiritual gifts. And we're going to look at that in a bit more detail later on. Some of you, if you were here a little bit earlier this morning, you may have seen the slide that was up, which had some of them listed up there. However, I also asked some of the girls from Ignite a couple of weeks ago to do some kind of on-the-cuff videos, interviews with some of the members of our church. So we're going to play that now to give you a little bit of an insight.
Your spiritual gift, and how do you use it?
I would say my spiritual gift is probably serving. I like serving in the church, so I've just started leading worship, so that's part of my service. And the administration job that I do is also all about serving, and also being a house group leader is also a way that I serve.
Can you name a few spiritual gifts?
Yes, I can. Speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, word of knowledge, prophecy.
Thank you very much.
What do you think your spiritual gift is?
I would say my spiritual gift at this moment in time is probably serving.
Thank
like
you.
To serve. That's okay.
What is your spiritual gift and how often do you use it?
I believe my spiritual gift is teaching, and I get an opportunity to use it each week at house group.
Do you know your spiritual gifts and when did you discover them?
I think my spiritual gift is a love for the broken, whether that be adults, young people or babies.
What is your spiritual gift?
Oh, I think my spiritual gift is probably administration.
What is your spiritual gift and when did you find it?
I think probably leadership and encouragement would be the two things that I would say I've been gifted with. And it was only really after I was asked to join the leadership of the men's ministry at church, that I began to realise that I might be able to help other men to grow in their walk as well as to grow in my own walk through leading them and encouraging them.
Thank you.
There is now a chance for any of the young people, the children of Energy, to come to the front. There's going to be an activity down here with Joe, and it would be great if some of the older children come down too, because there's a bit more detailed work needed. So if any of Voltage and Ignite can join in, that'd be fantastic. So I don't know if you want to make your way up now, and you can make a start on that. So today's aim is to make you all aware of what the gifts of the Spirit are, and kind of how they can be used in our lives. So with our construction theme in mind, we're going to look at how our church should be built around our spiritual gifts. Some of you may have not even come across the term spiritual gifts, and hopefully this service will speak to you just as much as those who are using it in their day-to-day lives and they've acknowledged their gifts years and years ago. So keeping on theme, some of you are kind of amateur DIYers and some of you are professional tradesmen. But hopefully there is something in this service that will speak to all of you. And it is a really vast topic. To try and get it all into one service is almost impossible. So we're kind of just skimming the surface, and it's almost a bit of a summary. So it might be a reminder or it might be an introduction, depending on where you are. I'm going to now pass over to Suzette, who is going to just speak about how and where these spiritual gifts are in the Bible and where we can read about them.
If anybody wants to look it up in their own version, feel free to do that. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10, and actually I'm going to read verse 7 as well, which isn't up on the screen. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. And to another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. And then in Romans 12, if we could have that one up, thank you. This is verses 3-8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly of yourselves than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. These are all gifts that we can all aspire to and use to bless each other and take out into the world and use as a blessing for others and to build the church in the world. And they can be used in the most ordinary settings of our everyday life. Then there's another list in Ephesians 4. If we could have that one, thank you. This is verse 11 to 12. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen. So this last list is slightly different to the others because it's talking about major roles or callings within the church. And there's quite a difference between just using the gift of prophecy and the role of being a prophet. And I'm afraid we just don't have time to go into all of that this morning. So that's another thing that we could perhaps do another time, or you might want to talk to someone about. We'd like to focus on 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, the first two passages that I wrote, that I read. I didn't write them. And remember that no one list is ever going to be adequate to describe everything that the Holy Spirit brings to us, but it's a pretty good place to start. And now I'm going to ask a couple of people to come and just give a personal testimony of how they discovered what their gifting was and how they use it. So if Paul is here, Paul Evans, thank you. Do you want to use the microphone here, Paul?
Yeah, that's fine. Well, everybody, as you saw on the video, I believe my gift is teaching, and that's been showing throughout my Christian life and has been explained to me that that's what people believe that God has given me. And I just want to give a few examples of how that's been used during my time as a Christian, one from within the church, but two from outside of the church. First of all, teaching is one of those things where most people can do it if they know enough about their subject, but there is something a little bit distinctive, I believe, about the spiritual gift of teaching. Sally and I have run house group for just over 25 years, and during that time I've had the privilege of being able to teach through house group quite a large number of people that have come and gone as part of our group. I have to confess that sometimes I don't know what I'm talking about. But God does. Because when we're thinking of the spiritual gifts, we are thinking of the supernatural, the things that are beyond our ability to prepare and to think about. It's those things that God puts into the equation that we haven't thought about. So the supernatural. And also, one of the things that I would say about a spiritual gift, which is perhaps maybe different to just being able to do something, is the factor of sustainability. Sustainability. 25 years is quite a long time. We're not the longest serving house group leaders. That accolade goes to John and Mary, who are up to 35 years. Yeah. No, it's worth applauding that. But of course, they are much older than Sally and I. The second aspect of teaching is a few years ago I was living out in Romania, and I had to go to one of our businesses that we operate in Moldova. And I spent some time in Moldova with a lady called Diana. Diana was a lady who worked in the finance team of our company in Moldova, and she wanted some teaching on some of the interesting fundamentals of accounting for that business. Well, obviously, that's right in my sweet spot in terms of knowledge and being able to teach those things. But actually, the spiritual element, the holy spiritual element of that teaching was not what I was able to impart to her, but it was the way in which I believe I was able to do it, because I believe that with the gift of teaching, there is sensitivity. There is sensitivity to where people are. There is sensitivity to their position, to their geographic position sometimes, but their spiritual position too. There is a sensitivity. And the thing that was incredible, Diana was obviously Moldovan. And I think the thing that really impacted upon her, much more than the boring accountancy stuff, was the fact that I was happy to take time to spend talking to her on a level. And that's very important. I think spiritually, sensitivity in teaching is key. And then the final thing is this, and this has come up just in the last week, and it's been lovely for me. Our youngest son, Sam, runs a music festival, and that takes place in the summer in Hay-on-Wye. And as some of you may know, I have a bit of experience in organising festivals, and I know a little bit about administering them and some of the things you need to do. And as a consequence of that, last Sunday, Sam actually asked me if I would help him go and negotiate with the lady who is running the site where he runs his festival, in order that we could hopefully get, you know, the right arrangements for the festival. And I was absolutely gobsmacked that he would want to ask me, because for a start, I'm his dad, and secondly, he's much brighter and cleverer than I am anyway. But he had obviously seen something in me that he felt I could teach him. And hopefully tomorrow when we go to Hay-on-Wye, I'll be able to teach him a bit about negotiation and about getting the best deal and about sorting out the right things. And that really comes as a result of sincerity. And again, when the Holy Spirit empowers something, it is sincere. It is real. It's not pretend. And over his lifetime of 20 years, obviously, Sam has been observing me. And in his observation, he has perhaps seen something where I can actually teach him. I'm quite proud about that. I'll probably trip over, won't I, tomorrow? But those three things, I think, are really important. So teaching, supernatural, sincere, you know, sustainable, all of those things. Thank you, Suzette.
Thank you very much, Paul. Thank you for that. It's very real, isn't it? Everyday contacts, everyday things. I'm going to ask Ruth if she would come forward now and add a bit to that.
Okay. The gift I'd like to share about, the spiritual gift, is one which lots of people have actually got, but perhaps don't realise that it's called what it's called, the gift of mercy. And I'd just like to read the definition of what the gift of mercy is. It's from the Greek, a Greek word, which I can't pronounce, sorry. It means to be patient and compassionate towards those who are suffering or afflicted, a concern for the physical as well as the spiritual need of those who are hurting, and being able to draw alongside them in their trials and to walk with them, to be the hands and feet of God. And there are many Bible references to the gift of mercy, as I think we've already mentioned a couple. In Romans it says we are to weep with those who weep, and in Galatians we're told to bear one another's burdens. And about 10 years ago, we were at a church weekend, and during the worship time, we had a speaker from South Africa, Steve Oliver, and during the worship time, he called me forward, and he said that he saw above my head a big banner with the word mercy on. And I felt that was a real confirmation of what I'd already felt God had gifted me with, because ever since I first became a Christian, God had put me in situations where I was able to draw alongside people and be of some help to them. When our children were little, there were lots of opportunities at the school gate to meet with other mums and to spend time with them, not just at the gate, obviously, but to make contacts with people, and I felt God used me there. And since then, there's been loads of opportunities in every church that we've been involved in. And also, of course, through Alpha, that's been a great opening of opportunities to draw alongside people in practical ways as well as spiritual, and listening to people. And I found that my listening training that I did, which lots of you know about, has helped amazingly, because sometimes people just want you to listen to them and be able to just be there for them. And that's part of the gift. I wouldn't say I always get it right. I know that the Holy Spirit's prompted me on at times, and I've not done what I should have done. But I pray each day that I will hear what God wants me to do that day, and I do it. And really, that's about it. Thank you.
Make sure my microphone's on. That's better. Thank you, Ruth. I'm going to hand back over to Tim straight away now for the next bit.
Thank you to both of you. It's really encouraging, isn't it, to hear people talking about, firstly, how they've acknowledged their gift and they've realised what it is and how they're using it in their day-to-day lives. You know, we don't have to use it just at house group or just at church. Where we're using it at its best is in our day-to-day lives and on our front line. So we're going to have an opportunity now to just take a few minutes, kind of 4 or 5 minutes, to talk to people around you about what your spiritual gift is, if you know what it is, or it might be several gifts. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, that's fine as well. Talk to people around you, especially people who know you, because those people are going to be the people who may see that gift in you. Just like Paul was saying, actually, with Sam seeing that teaching in his dad, that actually the people around you who know you best may be able to observe the gift in you better than you can yourself. I'm going to put the... Oh, it's already up there. I'll put that up there as a little bit of a reminder, but as we've already said, there are more gifts than what's up there, and it's just really a summary. You should also have noticed, hopefully, that there was a little wooden magnet that we've made and put on your seats. If you haven't, you're probably sat on it still. What we thought is it's something to take away. It'll kind of link in with what we're doing later. It's something to take away. Stick on your fridge, and in the morning, you know, write on it what your gift is, and in the morning you can see it and think about how you can use that in your day. And if you still don't know what your gift is, just put it up there blank and just keep it as a reminder, and hopefully you'll be able to add to it either later in the service or during the week. So we'll break for about 4 or 5 minutes. I know it's really tempting to turn it into a coffee morning, but if we can try and like keep on topic, keep really focused and pray into this, that'd be really great.
Right, if we could... could have everybody's attention back to the middle a minute. If we can have all the children come into the middle, please. I'm sure there are a few more children. Children of any age. Can I ask you to wind up your conversations now? We can always come back to them later. Right, I've got a box here. And it might be full of things, mightn't it? We're going to have a look in there in a minute. Okay. I've just got a couple of questions I'd like to ask you first. So we've been talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Is it just for grown-ups? Can children have the gifts of the Holy Spirit as well? What do you think? Who thinks they can? Put your hand up. Do the rest of you think they can't? Put your hands down. Who thinks they can't? They can, because the Holy Spirit can work through any of us. So it's for you as well. This isn't just for the grown-ups this morning. This is for you as well. If you love Jesus and he's living in your heart, then you've got the Holy Spirit in you as well. And the Holy Spirit can work through you just as well as anybody else. So what kind of things can children do? I wonder, have you got any ideas? Let me give you one to start with. If you're with a group of friends and everybody's got a bag of sweets except for one child, one of your friends doesn't have any sweets at all because they haven't got any pocket money. What could you do? Say it into the microphone so everyone can hear.
Share the sweets.
That's right. And that would be the gift of giving, because you're meeting someone else's need. Any other ideas? Anybody can think of anything else how the gifts can work through you with your friends at school or at home or in the church here? Put your hand up if you've got an idea. No? How about if you know that somebody's being bullied, what could you do?
Tell an adult.
Yes, you could tell an adult. What else could you do? Okay.
Go over to the friend that's being bullied and just walk away with them.
So you could help them and befriend them and stand with them. Yes, that's a lovely idea, isn't it? And that, what gift would that be? It's one we've just had talked about, but I expect you were busy colouring, weren't you? It's the gift of showing mercy. How about there's some jobs that need doing? Maybe at home, maybe here in the church.
You could help your parents do it.
Yes, you could help your parents do it, and that would be the gift of miracles, somebody said. I heard that. It would be the gift of serving and maybe a miracle as well. How about, have you ever prayed for a friend? Either with them or for them when you go to bed at night or something. Have you ever prayed for a friend? There's all sorts of ways you can pray for a friend. Some of you have, I know you have. Yes. So if they're sick, we can pray for them, can't we? And what would that be? Any ideas? You'd be asking for? Be for healing. Okay. Oh, sorry, I didn't see your hand up. Perhaps you can have get the next one. Have any of you ever been reading your Bibles and just one verse really stands out to you? Have you ever been doing that? It seems really special when you're reading it. Yeah. Because that can happen sometimes. And sometimes it's not just for you, it's for sharing with other people. So it might mean even that you bring it to church on Sunday and read it out for everybody to hear. Now, that would be part of a gift as well. Any ideas what that could be? Perhaps a bit harder. Might be wisdom. You might even be the gift, a gift of knowledge, because somebody really needs to hear that verse. So there's lots of different ways that you can join in with all of this. First of all, though, you need to want the Holy Spirit to do it through you and ask him to. And then you need to listen to what he's saying. And then don't be afraid to speak out. That's quite a hard one, isn't it? And thank you for the ones who have answered questions this morning with the microphone, because it makes you feel a bit shy when the microphone's coming your way. But not being afraid to speak out is part of trusting that the Holy Spirit is with you and working with you. And get some help. So you can always talk to your mum and dad, or to your energy leaders, or one of the other people in the church that you trust, about whether you should share something, or whether they think it's a good idea, or forget them to pray with you as well. And then, top of all of that, you need to practice. Who knows about practicing? Does anybody play a musical instrument? So you're learning to play. What do you have to do all the time? You have your lesson, and then you go away and you practice. Well, I hope you do. If you're going to get anywhere, you need to practice, don't you? Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't need to practice what he's doing, but we need to practice being an instrument for the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to look in my box. Now, it's no good having a gift if you never use it, or you never take it out and look at it. So let's see what I've got in my box. Right. Can anybody play the recorder? Yes? Would anybody like to have a go a minute? Come on, Tim. Come up here and have a go. You get your fingers over the hole and see if you can give it a blow. Okay, hold on to that for a minute. Now, this one is a bit like a recorder, but it's been organised like a flute. So you blow it from the side and you cover up the holes. Anybody want to have a go? Yes? Okay, you have a go with this one. Have a blow in there. Let's hear what it sounds like. Now, I've got one that's a bit harder here. Has anybody seen these before? No. Yeah, can anybody play them? These are really quite hard, but I haven't played them for ages. Have a go. Somebody want to have a go? Go on, see if you can get a note. Turn it round this way and use just the big ones, because otherwise it's a bit harder. Blow across the top. Get your lips really close. Okay, keep practicing that for a minute. What else have I got? I've got some tambourines. Who's good with rhythm? Hey? Who's going to have a go with this? Would you like to? There you are. Right, hang on a minute, Tim, and we'll all have a blow in a minute. Some more people for the tambourines. Anybody else for a tambourine? Would you like to have a go? No? You sure? Come on, you will, won't you? And I've got some maracas. Who wants to have a go with these? No? No? Go on. Somebody want these? You want those as well? Whoops. There you are, have that one. Just hold it in your hand. No? Okay. Come on, somebody. Have a go. And I've got some bells. Who's going to have a go with some bells? No. Come on, have some bells. Anybody want some bells? No? You want some bells instead? Have some bells instead. You have a bang on there. Have a go. Right. Everybody ready? I want you just to be really quiet for a minute. No blowing, no rattling for a minute. Now, when I say go in a minute, I want you all to play together, but I want you to be watching me as well, because when I do that, I want you to stop playing, all right? So let's have a go, and go. Pretty good. Well done. Pop them back in the box for the moment. Thank you. So what would have made that sound a bit better? It sounded brilliant anyway, and it was a lovely noise for the Lord, but what would have made it sound even better?
If we had, like, a piece of paper with the tune on it.
So we had the notes written down, and we were all playing the same tune. That would have helped, wouldn't it? What else would have helped? Some of you only had those instruments for the first time this morning, didn't you? So what was I saying just now that we often need to do? We need to have something. We need to practice. Okay, that's great. Now, we're going to listen for a minute. I had asked Will to come and play the drums for us this morning, but Will has hurt his wrist and isn't able to do it, so we're really sad about that. So at the last minute, I've asked Chris if he would just play. Now, Chris has practiced, so this is going to sound really wonderful. And Chris is going to play for us just for a moment. Just listen. Chris, that was lovely, wasn't it? So if you practice, you get better and better at doing something, and it sounds better and better. So if you practice being an instrument for the Holy Spirit and you're willing for him to work through you, you'll get better and better at hearing him and saying what he wants you to say and doing what he wants you to do. Imagine if the musicians in the music group never practiced their instruments and never practiced playing together. It would be a bit of a cacophony on a Sunday morning, wouldn't it? Okay, you've been really good. Thank you very much. If you'd like to go back and sit with your parents now. And we're going to hear a little bit more from some people in the church. So I'm going to ask Jonathan if he would come forward.
Microphone. Yeah.
I got back the microphone.
Got a box there as well. It's for me to stand. Right. Thank you. I was just asked to say a few words just about discernment, and it immediately made me think of a very, very good friend of mine who is in this church, who won't be who remain nameless, who went speed dating fairly recently, and he went to a church and they did this Christian speed dating thing. And obviously, in speed dating, you've got just a couple of moments to ask that nub of a question to start a relationship, to start to understand that person that you've got in front of you. And we sat down and we were chatting, and he said, he came up with a few ideas of the sort of question. And he came up and he said, oh, I know, he said, I could ask the lady, if they were a dog, what sort of dog they'd be. And I said to him, look, mate, I said, I think we want something more Leslie Phillips than Leslie Grantham, I think. But it did make me think, you know, about me. You know, if I was a dog, what sort of dog would I want to be? And actually, the dog that I would want to be would be my favourite dog, the dog that I had some years ago, who was a fantastic dog called Bungle. And he was an old English sheepdog. Absolutely fantastic dog. But as well as being a fantastic dog for who he was, he very much epitomised the sort of characteristics that, as an elder, I believe we are, all of us as elders need to have as a sheepdog. Because I don't know if you know anything about Old English sheepdogs. They're not what you would normally think of as a sheepdog. People think a sheepdog is a dog that runs around and controls the flock of sheep, and it moves it around and takes control. But that's not what an Old English sheepdog does. They were not bred for that. What an Old English sheepdog was bred to do was to blend in with the flock. It wasn't there to control the flock, it was there to look out for the flock. Because if danger came in the form of a wolf, all of a sudden, out of this flock of sheep would appear a dog with teeth, a sheep with teeth that would deal with the threat. And seeing that threat come, it would take the necessary action. And to a great extent, that's what kind of brought me into this whole thing about discernment of spirits, as it's called, or it's just discernment, really, of sniffing out what is of God and what isn't. And like we were saying a bit earlier, and it was being said, you know, that whether you are still in Energy Church or whether you're in I Haven't Got Energy, Any Energy Left Church, you will still, to an extent, be using that gift, because the Holy Spirit is in us, and the Holy Spirit will direct us to pick out what's of God and what isn't. We get better at it, I think, as we know God better and as we learn a bit about the Scripture and we learn the character of God. We understand perhaps a bit more about how that works. But there is a point when, with a spiritual gift, it becomes wholly about the Holy Spirit. And it is a point at where, particularly with me, my understanding stops and the Holy Spirit takes on and continues on. It's a point at which I have to shut up and sit back and listen and allow God to work, or the Holy Spirit to discern the situation. The ways that I've seen it happen more often than not for me is not where I say anything clever or try to bring a clever question. I just listen, and somehow the Holy Spirit squeezes out of that message that's coming at me some truths, which very quickly you can see whether they're true or not. They are things that, where something looks really good on the face of it, you see behind it there's a spirit of control, of where a prophecy may look very positive and strong, but actually it's not about setting people free, it's about controlling them. And I think that same spiritual gift can go beyond that, and it has in my life, where there can even be a confrontation at a very overt spiritual level. But that's not perhaps for this morning. But so, yeah, that's spiritual gift in that way. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Okay, it's now quiz time. We're going to have to be really, really super quick and rapid fire on this quiz. On the way in, you hopefully were given a label, one of your trades. So just to make sure you're all there, give us a wave if you were a carpenter today. Good. Our plasterers, our electricians, and our plumbers. Yay! Excellent. Glad to see somebody's awake. Okay, we also need the help of our two builders today. So welcome in our Chuckle Brothers. Here they come. Okay, I'm also going to need all the children to sit down for this, because there is actually going to be some building going on. Okay, morning. Cup of tea? Okay, so... stand there, please. Okay, if I can have our quiz up on the screen, that'd be great. Okay, so we're going to build our flat pack church, and it's going to be built of using our spiritual gifts. Okay, so we need our foundation, like any good building, and our foundation is our faith. So I'm going to put that in. This is going to be a super quick build, guys. It's like DIY, SOS. Okay, so Joe's going to be roaming around with the mic, and when you think you know the answer, you need to shout out. She's going to run over, and I might even be able to keep score. Okay, is it all right to get the little one sat down? I don't want a risk assessment and all that. Okay, we'll go there. Okay, we're going to need our tools, which is There we go. I'll trust you with that.
Thank you.
Have you got the harder head?
Eh?
Okay. Right, our first question, please. So just shout out or put your hand up. So when should we use our spiritual gift or gifts? Oh, sorry, over there.
I'm going to correct that. I said whenever God gives it, but when he's prompting you to do it.
Well done. And she's a carpenter.
Carpenter. That's 1 point for the carpenters. Well done. Yeah, absolutely. It's when God calls us to do it in our everyday lives and on our front line. So we can have that piece, please, on the projector. Okay, so we get the wisdom piece. If you can find out the wisdom, and that can go up. And whilst you're doing that, we'll move on. Okay, the next question. Can you name one of the New Testament books that we heard from earlier?
Romans.
And it's a plasterer.
Doesn't really matter. Well done. Plasterer, thank you. Romans. Okay, and that's one.
Bruce.
Yeah, might help. In here. There we go. Okay, so your, yeah, that was correct. Your part was, the next slide, knowledge and prophecy. Sorry, short labourers. Okay, our next question, please. Can you name another book?
Got Romans already.
Galatians.
Galatians, and she's a
One of the ones we heard from today, please.
Corinthians,
yeah, okay.
Correct, right, Sal.
We'll let her have it.
She's a plasterer, too.
A plasterer, two for the plasterers, well done. Okay, so we need the faith upright. Okay, next question, please. Okay, children, you can answer as well. A bonus point if it's children. Okay, what question might you be using if you're praying for someone with a broken leg?
Healing, and he's a plumber.
Healing and a plumber. Well done. It's 1 point to the plumbers. Okay, so you can find the healing upright, please. Okay, and we need one more book for the next question. So what was the final passage that we heard this morning?
Oh, well done, this corner again.
Ephesians.
Fantastic, well done.
And what are you? Electrician.
And a bonus point, well done.
And a bonus point.
Okay, next question, please. Oh, that was discerning between spirits. Discernment, that one there. Okay, what could you do if you're unsure about your spiritual gift? Rachel?
Ask other people.
Excellent, yeah. Ask other people and pray about it.
Plasterer.
Yeah.
You need to be a bit louder. Hand up.
Oh, no. Okay, sorry, that was one for the plasterers.
Plumber.
Okay, next, please.
Hand needs to go up quicker.
Okay, what gift might you be using if you volunteered to
hospitality.
Work in energy?
Hospitality. Electricians. Hospitality.
Hospitality, electricians.
Yeah, absolutely. Hospitality, well done. And it's electricians, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Or... tying electricians and plasterers. Well done. Okay, next question, please. Okay, what gift might you have if you were felt called to run energy?
Leadership.
Fantastic.
And carpenter.
Have to watch. Okay, leadership.
You've got leadership. Theo.
One of the long ones. That one. Yeah. Okay, well done. And what trade was that?
It was carpenter. And it was Thea's answer, apparently, so that's an extra point.
Okay, we're pulling it back. Okay, next question, please. What gift might you be using if you paid for someone's shopping?
Mercy.
Mercy, yeah, the gift of giving and mercy. Well done. And your trade, please?
Carpenter.
They've taken the lead. That's 4 points for the carpenters.
Need to make sure I'm getting everything.
And the last question. Come on, guys. Do you need a high vis, Pete? Oh, no, hang on. You need to get one of them on the end. That's it.
I've already seen a hand up over here.
They did all match up. Okay, and our last question. Sorry, what gift might you be using if you said well done to the worship band?
Encouragement.
Fantastic. And 2 points. That's the encouragement and your electrician. Electricians are pulled ahead. 5 points to the electrician. Well done. Okay, that was the last one. We'll carry on and we'll build this whilst we're waiting. Look at man. Okay, whilst those last couple of bits go in, while the children were at the front, they've been working on an element of our build as well. So I'll bring that out during the last song and we'll fix it on and hopefully we can see that and our finished piece. So I'm just going to hand over to Suzette to bring us to a close.
Everybody.
Right, while we're waiting for the builders to finish their excellent job that they're doing here, if I could ask Amanda to come forward. Amanda thought that God had given her an important picture to share with us today, and this is the Holy Spirit working in the gifts, so we'd like to make space here for her to share that.
This comes from a picture that I'll start. Years ago, we were in Vienna, and on the streets of Vienna, and Vienna's a very posh place, very expensive shops, very expensive items to buy, people very well dressed, etc. On the streets of Vienna were some people who were very deformed and very damaged. They look like they've been in some sort of war, and they get shipped in on a daily basis, and they beg on the streets. And we went past quite a few of these. I remember thinking, if I was a medic, I would like to do something for them, because they were very damaged and the repairs that had been done to them were not the sort of repairs we'd see in the UK. That's what came to mind this morning. And then I felt God was saying, if he saw somebody like that, and we can be like that, very damaged, he wouldn't just bustle in and say, righto, I've got the injections here, I've got the stuff you need, I'm going to whack things into you and do things to you without your permission. He would first of all come up and find the way of communicating with us. So the people on the streets were Muslim people, so I couldn't have been able to speak to them anyway. So God finds a way to touch us, to engage with us, and to speak with us that we understand. And I felt God was saying, I would start with just simply washing their wounds and just giving them a simple clean, and I'd be talking to them and I'd be reassuring them. And then I would move on to the next thing, which would be bandaging up, or it might be doing other sorts of things like clipping, and I'm not a medic, the sort of things that are needed after a wound has been washed. And then if needs be, God would move on to surgery. He would possibly move on to giving injections, empowering people with the drugs that they need. And what I feel God is saying this morning, so that's a bit of a vision. I'm now moving on to what I believe God is saying, so this is kind of prophetic, I think. I think God is saying to us, wherever we're at in the things of the gifts of the Spirit, God knows where we're at. And if we're at the position where we just need him to gently encourage us and help us, he'll be there for that. If we're in the position where we need God to specifically do something to enable us to move on further or to reach out further, he's there to support us in that. If we're in the position where we've had things done in the past that really need to be dealt with, then he's there for that too. But what I believe God is saying to us this morning, we've heard about all these things. God knows where we are at as individuals, and he wants to take us on further. But just going back to the people on the streets, you can't work with people unless they say, I'm happy with that. You can't start probing and touching people unless they say, I trust you. And God will work with us so that we know him. And then we are able to say, I trust you, Lord, for the next bit, because I know what you're like. You have proved your love to me. Therefore, I can trust you for this next step. And I believe for each one of us here, it's if we say, God, this is where I'm at. This is where I think I'm at as well. God will come and will meet with us there. and will take us and enable us to go on to the next thing. And I just think we need to be honest with God and enable him to come nearer to us, to help us to move in these spiritual gifts and exercise them with more confidence and with more faith.
Are they come on now? Okay. In a minute, sorry about that. In a minute, we're going to sing one last song together. And while that is going on, we're going to finish off the building here that represents us as the church, because the church is people. So we're just coming towards the end of our time together this morning. We do have a couple of notices that people wanted to bring. Where's Kirsty? Kirsty wants to update us on what she's doing with walking around the world. Stand there. Yep, there. Wherever you like. Come up to the front if you want.
Last week I said about walk the world, and yeah, we haven't actually managed to get the AstroTurf for today, but we'd still like it to go ahead to see if people could do some laps around the outside of the Astro, because it is a nice day today, so it should be okay. Yeah, so we're still collecting sponsors for Sport Relief, and we'd like to just do as many laps as we can on the outside of the Astro. So we've got like little cards that will kind of record when people are doing laps that you can go out and do now. That would be really cool. If you just walk around, or again, if the kids want to run around or anything, then just around the edge, that will add up and contribute to the laps of the Walk the World Challenge. And then next week, we'll try again to get the actual AstroTurf open so that we can actually walk around on the flat bit, because that'll make it a lot easier for a lot of people. So, yeah, thank you.
And John Barnard. Oh, there you are.
Thank you. Yeah, it was just a chance for us all to exercise a gift of generosity this morning. You'll have noticed that John isn't here. John Munro isn't here this morning. It's possibly because Joanne is running the Bath Marathon, half marathon today. There's a little bit in Pew's news. And I had a look this morning, and she got quite a long way to go to get to her target that she wants to reach. She's collecting, she's running in aid of the Cheshire Homes, where John is. So it'd be really good if you could go in there and help support her. If you want a quick way of finding it, just go onto our website. It's on the homepage. There's a little news item there, and you can click on that and find it. So it's an opportunity.
Thank you, John. There will be tea and coffee in the refectory afterwards for everybody if you'd like to go in for that. The musicians are going to play for us one song in a moment. After that, if you want to stay and continue to worship, please feel free. If you want to talk to somebody about anything that's been said this morning, if you want prayer, there will be people available here in the hall for that as well. So please don't go away if you've got a question or you would like someone to pray for you. So to finish, I'd like to read one more scripture. We don't have it as a slide on the screen, so if you'd like to just listen. It's 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Let's just pray a moment. Father God, thank you for your love that you've poured out so generously for us. Help us to hold that love at the centre of our lives and to pour it out to those around us. We eagerly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We long to see the church here grow and become more and more effective. And we ask you to pour out your Spirit on us all. Be glorified through us. Holy Spirit, come and fill us anew. Holy Spirit, come and move through us. Holy Spirit, come and be glorified in our lives.